Deuteronomy chapter 1. And while you find that, I want to tell you that I want to share from God's Word about fear this morning. I know that most of us have never faced an actual 9-foot giant like Goliath. Amen? Unless some of you played college or pro football. But I know this, you may never have actually faced one on the battlefield like David did, but I'm going to tell you this, I know without a fact that there are spiritual giants and there are difficult giants in our life that we have to face that could probably be just as difficult or more difficult than a physical 9-foot giant to face. We all have fears. Those spiritual threatenings can be just as threatening to our well-being because they seek to invade our life. They seek to invade our very being and destroy what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, and in the ministry around us. Fear will do that. I'd like, if you would, to stand with me in honor of reading God's Word. The giant that we're going to look at today is the giant of fear. I believe that this scripture tells us a lot about how to handle that. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 and following. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, now I want you to understand, this is a recap. This is a remembrance Moses had as he shared these things. And he says, and every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the scripture stopped there? But that's not what happened. Verse 26 says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. In all the way that you went until you came to this place, yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place, for you pitch your tents to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry, and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. Folks, I think we have a lot of phobias. I think we've got a lot of fears. Irrational roadblocks that keep us from doing what God called us to do. Now let me ask you, before I really get started here, how many of you have phobias? All right, ladies, come on. I've seen some of you around spiders. My wife is not as scared of a snake. She'll pick it up in a moment. I don't know what her problem is, but she will not touch a spider even with the bottom of her shoe. Listen, we all have fears, but understand that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a spirit of fear, something that keeps us from being and doing what God calls us to be and to do. Would you pray with me? Father, it's your heart we seek, not our own. And yet this world has its projection so in front of us and so entices us that we have a hard time seeing it. Would you help us to overcome our fears and trust in the Lord our God? And all God's people said, amen. And I failed to do this, but if some, one of my deacons, would y'all grab me a glass of water? About yay big would be great. Fear is not always a bad thing. Stop and think with me. Fear is not always a bad thing. God uses it to protect us. Our primordial fear, if you will, that is put into us. Bless your heart, my deaconess. Fear isn't always a bad thing because it will tell us, hey, you're in a bad place. Run, right? It will tell us, avoid these things. Don't go there in the first place. That's a dark alley with a bad reputation. You fear to go in there. But when fear becomes a permanent condition in your life, it can terrorize your heart. It can immobilize us and bring our life to a standstill. And that, dear friends, is what we need to understand and avoid. Everybody has fear at some times in their life. Ideally, though, those fears don't dominate our lives. But when fear takes over, and that's all we can think about, then we know then that it's a giant that needs to be conquered. We can all be like that little boy who was in a play, and he only had two lines. All he had to do was step out on the stage, and all he had to say was, "It is I, be not afraid." But when he got out there, it came out, "It's me, and I'm scared." It can happen to the best of us. We say, "It's Lord, we know it's you. We don't need to be afraid." But then we say, "It's me, and I'm terrified." In the Bible, we see fear in a lot of different stories. We see that in different circumstances, and they're understandable. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee, more than one time, were in a boat in a storm, and they were scared half to death. We understand that. You remember that the Israelites stood before the Philistines, and Goliath stood down at the bottom of the hill looking up at them and sending his taunts up, and Saul was scared to go and face him, and so he stood there and denied the people and the Lord their God. But one of the best Old Testament stories that I have about showing how to deal with fear and showing how it comes to us is this story that we just read in Deuteronomy. Now, its original comes from Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, but it's condensed here in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. You remember the setting. The Israelites had been in slavery. God pulled them out of the slavery by sending the plagues on Pharaoh and all of Egypt. You remember? This means yes. You remember that. He sent all of these plagues until finally Pharaoh turned them loose. Then, after that, they were out in the desert. They were headed to the promised land. And as they got to the edge of the promised land, the scripture says here that Moses sent 12 men in for a recon mission. It's exactly what it was, reconnaissance, to check out to see what was there and what they were going to be up against. When we see their response here, we see that fear has not changed much in several thousand years. Amen? Fear is still fear. Here are some things that I want us to look at today so that we can confront our fears, we can look to God's Word and do what we need to do to become the servants and the saints and the warriors of God that we need to be. I could think of no better sermon to start the year with than, folks, we need to overcome our fears of serving God. First of all, fear disregards God's plan. When you have fear in your life, it disregards God's plan. Now, what does that mean? In verse 19 and 21 through 21, the scripture said there, it says that they departed from Horeb, went through the great wilderness. They saw the mountains of the Amorites. The Lord God had commanded them. Then they came to Kadesh Barnea, and Moses said to them, "You have come to the mountains of the Amorites the Lord is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and what? Possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged." Verse 21 reveals to us that God's plan for the Israelites was to possess the land of Canaan. That's what he had for them. But he also shared there in verse 21 what was standing in their way, what was keeping them from fulfilling his plan. Fear and discouragement. Fear and discouragement controlled the people after hearing the report of those 12 spies. Actually, from just 10 of the 12 spies. Fear took hold of their lives, and they could not believe. Listen, has this ever happened to you? They could not believe that the promise of God had actually come to pass, and here they were on the threshold of the new place, the land flowing with milk and honey. And they stood there and they said, "This just can't be real. This can't be happening." Fear overtook them. And I'm going to tell you, they would not go in because of their fear and discouragement. And I'm going to tell you this, fear will keep you from experiencing God's plan in your life as well. You see, we have an inheritance today just like the Israelites did. We have our inheritance, and that inheritance is just as much a plan of God today as Canaan was for them then. You think that your time is any less important before God? Folks, we're supposed to be doing what God's called us to do. We have just as clear a warning from Paul as the Israelites had from Moses. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul tells us that God has given us a spirit not of fear, but a spirit of love. He says, you're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. You're supposed to have a spirit of love of God. God has not created us to be creatures dominated by fear, he says. He has given us a principle that we're to stand on and that we're to live by, and that principle is faith. Do we trust what God is going to do? Do you trust what God is going to do? Will we trust what God is going to do? Will we trust what God will do when he says he'll do it? If we choose to live in fear, if we choose to accept fear, then we're disregarding God's plan for our life because we will not do what God's called us to do. The same principle is given in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let me read that to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, he said that you don't have the spirit of fear. You have the spirit of adoption to call out Abba. What does Abba mean? Give me the best interpretation we've got today. Daddy. Daddy. He says you shouldn't have a spirit of fear. You have the spirit of adoption whereby we call out to God. And to God we don't say, "Oh, almighty God of the universe." Instead we say, "Daddy. I'm going to tell you, there are things in my life that will get my attention." And when people call out and they say, "Oh, come Almighty," I don't listen. But when they say, "Daddy," listen, it doesn't matter what child's yelling it, I respond. Don't you think that the Father of the universe is going to do the same? Abba, Daddy. Listen, he has given us not the spirit of fear, he said, but the spirit of adoption. God's plan for us, his desire for us, is that we live above fear, that we walk in his power, and that we walk in his love. But if we allow fear to take over, we miss out on what God had planned for us. That's what happened with the Israelites. They missed out on God's plan. Oh, they didn't miss it overall because He promised their people. But some of them missed out on it because they didn't do what God told them to do. If we allow fear to take over, we miss out on God's plan. Fear disregards God's plan. Secondly, fear distorts God's purposes. When fear dominates our life, everything gets out of perspective, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? When you stop looking to God and you start looking at the waves around you, just like Peter did, he took his eyes off the Lord, and what did he do? Did he fly? Did he keep walking? What did he do? He sank. When Peter took his eyes off the Lord and he began to fear, all of a sudden, he no longer had the ability to walk to the Lord. You know, 10 of the 12 spies who returned to Kadesh Barnea brought back a distorted picture of what the promised land was actually like. Verse 27 and 28 reported that the land was filled with the Anakim. Do you know what that is? Giants. The Anakim, they were giant men. And I'm going to tell you, yes, there were some giant men there, but not every person in Canaan was a giant. Was every person in the army of the Philistines a giant? No, one family as far as we know. Maybe more, but we know there was a few. That's why David picked up 5 stones, not just one. So we understand this, that they reported the land was filled with giants. I'm going to tell you, there wasn't all the giants. Have you ever noticed that fear takes one giant and turns him into the entire population? Have you ever said this? Nothing is going right. Everything's going wrong. The house is a total disaster. My mom used to say, you spilled sugar all over the kitchen. It was just a little spot. Like, their fear caused them to see one thing and report another. Do you get me? Folks, in fact, their fear was so totally distorted that it distorted their thinking. And they decided then that the only reason that God had brought them to the promised land was so that they could be destroyed. They said, God hates us and He wants to kill us all. Have you ever heard of such a ridiculous thing from the heart of God? Anybody on this side? Have you ever heard such a ridiculous statement about God? He hates His children and He wants them all to die. Their thinking and their fear was distorted so much that they thought God wanted to kill them. Isn't that the most irrational thing we could think about God? But when fear controls your life, folks, you just don't think right. Amen? Everybody's your enemy, and everybody's out to get you, and nobody is doing right. Rationality just goes out the window. And if you let fear control your thinking, you'll have a distorted view of the situation you're in and a distorted view of life in general. So fear distorts God's direction. Third, fear discourages God's people. Fear is contagious. Have you noticed that? It spreads like wildfire. It is a communicable disease. 10 men came back controlled by fear. And those 10 men changed the destiny of the rest of the entire nation. And for 40 years, that nation had to wander in the desert. And every person who was alive, except for the two, Caleb and Joshua, had to miss the promised land. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a little side note here as a church since we're starting the new year. You know, it says that 12 men, one was chosen from each tribe, and they were sent out. Listen, you better be careful who you choose to represent you. 2 out of the 12 sought the heart of God. 2 out of the 12. You know what? You start sending people out there that are full of fear. You start sending people out there that won't look to God, and you're going to get a bad report. You better listen when you start choosing leadership. Fear discourages God's people. The words of those 10 so affected them that they became fearful of going into the land that God had promised them. He says, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't plant. It's going to be land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. The fearful words of 10 turned the fortunes of the entire nation. Somebody said that when the spies came back, that they not only saw giants, they brought one back with them. They brought one giant back into the camp, and that was the spirit of fear. And it ran rampant through the people. The entire landscape was changed when people are consumed by fear. Fear discourages God's people. Don't be a people of fear. Fear disbelieves God's promises is the fourth thing. Look at verse 29 again with me, would you? In verse 29 through 33, he said, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw the Lord your God. As he carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and the cloud by day." Now what is he saying here? He's saying you'd think after God did all of this for you, you'd have enough sense to realize that God's not going to abandon you. Amen? He said, look at all that God has done for you. Look what God did through you through all of this. You think that when Israel finally stood on the threshold of the promised land, they would trust God to see them through. After all, this was not God's introduction to them. Amen? This wasn't the first time that God had spoke to them or led them. God didn't come to them all of a sudden and say, hey, let's start a new thing. Get down there and whoop some giants. It's not what he did. He had delivered them time and again and time and again. And Moses outlined what God had already done for them and how God would continue to be faithful. But instead of hearing, what did they do? Fear caused them to disbelieve the promise of God. Now let me ask you, do you know what this is? And I'm going to tell you, it says right here, Holy Bible. Do you know what this is? This Holy Bible, it's nothing added to it, nothing taking away from it. I promise you that. So what is this? This is God's Word. Do you believe it? There's the problem. You either do or you don't. Because God's Word is filled with promises, start to finish. Filled with promises. We either believe them or we do not. If we believe them, we step out in faith. If we do not, we cower behind the lines that God wants us to push through. Think of all the things that God had already done for them. The plagues, the Red Sea, crossing of the Red Sea, giving of the law. He fed them in a desert where there was no food. He gave them water in a wilderness where there was no water. He defeated their enemies along the way. He provided them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day for them to follow. And the Bible says, I love this, he says, God carried them along as a man would carry his son. He said, God carried them along like a parent would carry a child. Listen, when you've got a little child, you don't just drag them around when they can't walk. You carry them because you love them. You want to take care of them. That's the picture that we have of God, that he had delivered. He had guided. He had fought the battles for them. He had fed them. And here they stand on the challenge to do what God had said that he would deliver for them and would give to them. And it was like everything that God had said and done for them was gone. Just gone. Like he'd never fed them. Like he'd never given them water. Like he'd never delivered them from the Israelites. Like he'd never divided the Red Sea. Like he'd never, 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 never. And here they stood saying, we don't believe. Now before we condemn them too badly, has there been times in your life that you really felt like God was leading you to do something? Maybe this church to do something? Maybe even reach out better to this community in some way, somehow. Let me ask you, have you ever let fear keep you from doing what God told you to do? Maybe it was a fear of not enough money. Maybe it was a fear of not enough leadership. Maybe it was a fear of whatever it happened to be. Have you let fear keep you from what God wants you to do? Fear does not believe God's promise. You know what we learn as we get older in faith? I know some of you are going to agree with me. You're going to understand this. That although it's important to build your faith, although it's important to get stronger in your faith, sometimes every experience of faith is like starting totally over. You know, it seems like if you've seen God do great things in your past, that you should be able to climb up on that mountain and trust God all over, right from the beginning, right? But you know, sometimes it just doesn't work that way, does it? Our hearts and our minds get distracted every time. We just can't live on yesterday's faith, can we? Or somebody else's. You got to live on your faith for this day. That's what happened to the Israelites. They decided not to believe. And it happens, doesn't it? Come on, people, listen, I know you as I know me. It happens. It happens to me sometimes. It's hard sometimes to step out in faith. We trust God 10 times in a row, and we step out for God. Boom, step out for God. Boom, God delivers. Boom, God delivers. Boom, God delivers. 10 times in a row. And on the 11th time, we let fear creep in, and boom, we fail. Because we didn't trust God. We didn't step out on faith. We didn't do what He called us to do. We yielded to fear. And when you yield to fear, it'll lead to disbelieving God's promises. The fifth thing is this. Fear disobeys God's principle. This is a hard teaching, and it's a tough teaching, but I want you to know this, that you need to hear this, and you need to understand this. Fear is disobedient to God. Fear is disobeying God. When not because you fear a snake coming up at you, not because you fear somebody with a weapon, not because you fear a very hard time coming up, you know, and it just shows you there, and so you react in fear. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you have a spirit of fear, and you live in constant fear of doing and stepping out, doing what God called you to do, stepping out on faith, then you are disobedient to God. When we do not believe, we do not obey. Not usually. I mean, there may be times, very seldom. You know, there's a little phrase in the Bible that is used hundreds of times. You know what that little phrase is, and why God says it so many times for us? Because He knew we needed it. You know what it is? Fear not. Fear not. If we are told by God not to fear, and yet we choose to live in fear, what are we doing? We're disobedient. We are disobeying God. If God has given us the principle of faith, then to deny that principle is to deny God's plan for our life. Fear destroys and it disobeys the principles of God. Verse 26 said, He said, nevertheless, after he read all this list of the things God had done and all the things that God would do, he said, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled. Listen, rebellion against God is sin. He said, you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. What was the result? Because they did not believe God, God did not let that generation see the promised blessings. He made them stay out there in the wilderness and wander around in the wilderness till every one of them was dead but the two that trusted God. That generation spent 40 years waiting and waiting until all those adults died off. The two spies who wanted to trust God for victory, Joshua and Caleb. Did you know that when fear grips our lives, it ultimately destroys everything that God wants to do in us and through us? How many people have been given a vision? How many people have been given a direction by God? And they said, God has called me to do this. Maybe some of you have been there and God's called you to minister. He's called you to work with children, to work with youth, to work with adults, to preach, to teach, to be a missionary, maybe to write a book. I don't know what it is that God has called you to do, but I'm going to ask you this. If God has called you to do that and you have let fear creep in and you haven't done it, you are disobedient to God. You are letting what God wants to do through you fall apart. How many people have been given that vision? God called them to something special, but they failed to do so out of fear, and as a result, their lives became a meaningless journey instead of a focused, purposeful mission. I've seen it in people. Haven't you? Fear can steal everything that God wants to give you. What do we do then when fear is knocking at the door? You say, Pastor, that's great for you, but I still have this spirit of fear. So what do we do when the spirit of fear comes to our doors? How do we keep it from taking control? Five little things I think will help us today. How could I bring this to you, this problem to you, and not share with you some principles to overcome it? Amen? Five principles to protect you. First of all, first and foremost, fear demands a biblical response. And in that, you have got to confront your fear honestly. Confront your fear. Did you know this? Fear in itself does not decide to just leave you alone. Fear does not decide, you know what? I think I'm going to be nice today and I'm going to leave Gary and his family alone today. Just a break. You know, I'm going to give them the whole year. Not. Because you see, Satan does not want you to have a break. He wants you to be pummeled until you break. Some say, well, I don't know what it is. I've got a fear, but I don't understand it. I just have this spirit of fear in me. Listen, you need to discover what that spirit of fear is and what is taking up residence in your life and face it honestly and take it to God. And if you're going, I don't know what it is, I don't know how to find it, then pray. Ask God to show you what it is. I have an idea, you know what it is. You just don't want to face it. Pray and ask God, show you what this spirit of fear is in my life. Honestly, come before God. You cannot get rid of what you will not identify. If you will not identify sin in your life, you won't get rid of it. And I'm going to tell you this, you cannot outrun it. Amen? Have you ever moved to try to get away from fear? Fear will follow you wherever you go. Fear is going to follow you wherever you go unless you confront it, unless you give it to God. And then the next thing that you've got to do is this. Confess your fear as sin. Confess it. You're going, Pastor, that's just a little hard. That's just pretty deep. I'm not sure that that's where. I'm going to tell you it is. Confess your fear as sin. If God tells you time and time and time and time again, fear not. Then guess what? When you fear, you have disobeyed God's command. Fear not. And yet we fear. You say, well, I just can't command my feelings. Well, maybe not. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can demand and command your will to be obedient to the voice of God and not to the voice of this world. Be obedient to God's call. You can fill your life with His truth. Psalms chapter 34, verse 4 says this, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. You may not be able to keep a fear from coming up in you, but you can keep from following it and yielding to it, and instead seek the Lord. Hear from the Lord, because the Scripture says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Here's something for you. Where your will goes, your feelings will go. Isn't that true? Haven't you ever noticed that somebody can pump you up? If you will will yourself to hear and be encouraged, your feelings will go along with it. If God says, fear not, and we fear, we're disobedient. If we seek the Lord, if we obey the Lord, if we dwell with the Lord, if we meditate on His Word, we will find our feelings, including our feelings of fear, will follow close behind where our mind is, dwelling, obeying, meditating, seeking. Your will and your feelings will go together if you will try. You say, oh, preacher, that's just so unrealistic. I've had people tell me, you know, you're just apple pie in the sky. You know, you just got your head in heaven, preacher. You're all heavenly minded and no earthly good. I've had it been told me before. I've been told the other two. But I disagree. This is not just apple pie in the sky. This is not just heavenly minded. It is heavenly minded so that your body can follow along with it. You say, well, preacher, that just doesn't happen. That you just say, I'm going to do that and it happens. I'm going to tell you then you haven't tried it. So many people say, that just doesn't work. I'm going to tell you why. They don't do it. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Dwell in His precepts. Pray to Him and give Him your fears. Confess your fears. Ask Him to forgive it. Folks, if you don't do that, how in the world can it happen? We might have a little attempt at it for one day, but I'm going to tell you, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We're not going to knock down your fears in one afternoon either, more than likely. Give it to God. You've got to try. Too many people try to get rid of their fear without recognizing it for what it is, a sin. Folks, if you don't confess a sin, you're not forgiven of it. Confess your faults. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him to heal you. Too many people try to get rid of fear, but they're not confessing it as a sin. And remember this, what God has forgiven. Oh, I love this. I don't think I put this in your outline. You might want to write this one down. What God has forgiven and removed from you has no dominion over you. God wants you to have freedom over your fears. The third thing that we need to do is claim God's promise of protection. You remember what I was talking about, all those promises a little bit earlier? Claim God's promises of protection. God's Word is filled with His promises. If you are a person who is filled with fear, and you may be saying, Pastor, I didn't even realize it, but I guess I do have some fear. Here's what I'm going to suggest that you do. I want you to take the verses that I'm fixing to share with you, and I want you to write them down on a 3x5 card, and I want you to put them in places where you'll see them every day. You need to put one on your bathroom mirror so that when you brush your teeth and wash your face, that Scripture is staring at you right there. Then you need to put one on the next place you go, the refrigerator. Then you need to put one in your pocket so that you can pull it out no matter where you are. Put one on the dash of your car. Wherever you are, put them around. Find them. Put them in places of prominence so that you see them every day. Folks, claim God's promises of protection. If the spirit of fear begins to intimidate you, then start reading them. Let me just share a few with you. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Deuteronomy 31:6. Write it down. Deuteronomy 31:6. Here's what it says. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And all God's people said, Amen. Love that scripture. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. This is one of my favorites. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And all God's people said, Amen. Oh, people, if the spirit of fear begins to intimidate you, you've got these little cards there about, you know right where to find them. You'll have the truth of God at hand. And instead of allowing your mind to be filled with fearful lies, fill it with the Word of God. Fill it with the Word of God, who is a God of His Word. Amen? And then when the enemy begins to whisper to you about fear, oh, you need to be afraid of this. You need to be afraid of that. Oh, don't do this. Don't do that. You just look right back at him and you say, forget it, Satan. I have a word from God. And that word from God is, do not fear. And I've got God's word. The next thing you need to do is cultivate a closer relationship with God. Now, I know some of you are going, well, duh, Pastor, that's... aren't we all supposed to cultivate a closer relationship with God? I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to say the problem is you don't. Cultivate a closer relationship with God. What was it about those 2 out of 12 spies that saw what nobody else saw? They were not fearful. They didn't see a land of giants that could not be overcome. Instead, they believed God. Do you remember Joshua and Caleb said, it can be done. God is good. With God's help, we can take this land. Do you remember? They believed that God could do it. They were uniquely different from the other 10. Amen? The other 10 were fearful and they said, oh no. You know, they had some high walls and they said, they built walls up to heaven. They're all giants, all both of them. Here's the problem. Here's some scriptures that I want to read to you that tell us a little bit about Caleb and Joshua. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 1:36 says, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who shall see it? He said, nobody's going to see the land except for Caleb. And to him and his children, I am giving the land on which he walked because he wholly followed the Lord. How did he follow the Lord? Wholly followed the Lord. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. Why? Because he followed me fully. Numbers 32:12 says, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly, fully followed the Lord. Listen, there's the difference. These other 10 had not fully followed the Lord. They were not following God. They were following their own hearts and their own minds. You see, their fear came out of relationship problems. They didn't have a relationship with God, not a full relationship with God. The reason that these other two were so strong is because God was a dominant force in their life, not just a part of it, a dominant force. As a result, there was no fear in them, and they kept the focus on God while the others focused on themselves. The other men saw giants, and they compared themselves to the giants and went, oh, no! Joshua and Caleb kept their eyes on God. And when they saw the giants, they went, look at that! God and giants! No doubt who's going to win in that contest. Who do you keep your eyes on? You see, the opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear. That's because both faith and fear are focused on the future. They focus on the unknown, what's ahead, and we don't know what's going to be there. We can either have faith and trust God, or we can have fear and fall apart. Fear cancels out faith because it freezes us in our tracks. It makes us do nothing when we need to do something. But I'm going to tell you this, fear is overcome by faith in God who knows the future and will accomplish it for you as you follow Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It's a wonderful scripture. It says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know what that says? He who fears has not been made mature or complete in love. If you have fear, you're not mature. I'm not saying that if a snake jumped up, you wouldn't scream and holler and go, ah! But what I'm saying is you don't live in a spirit of fear to run from what God wants if you're a mature Christian, if you're following in God's Word. You know, just like a parent wraps up a fearful child with love and protection, that's what God does for us. You know, when a little child is in their room, and maybe they might be afraid of the dark. Are you with me? I was afraid of the dark. There was booger bears in my closet. I know there was. It just seemed like that to me. And I remember sometimes I was even afraid to call out. Anybody ever been there? Come on. Am I the only one? I was even afraid to call out. And I go, Dad. And Dad would come in there. And you know, he cured my fear. He said, buck up, son. Just get tough. Courage, boy. Courage. Not my dad. My dad, I'm going to tell you what my dad did. He came in, he made sure the closet door was shut so I couldn't see the darkness in there. And then he laid down on the bed with his big old back right up next to me. And he had pushed me right up against the wall. I will remember this till my dying day. And he had pushed me right up against the wall. And he'd say, any room in there for boogers? No. And I would fall asleep with my daddy's big old arms. And he'd hug me. He'd say, I love you. I'm not going to let anything get to you. You're all right. That's what God wants to do. Verse 31 said, God carried them like a father would a son. Remember? That's God's remedy for fear. It's His love. And our love for Him. I've got to tell you about a game that a pastor shared about a pastor from years ago. Back in many years ago, he and his young son would play a game called Bears. And the man, the daddy was the bear and the son was the runner. You know how it works. I do it with my grandson sometimes. And in the spirit of the game, one time it got a little intense and the boy was trapped in a corner and his dad was growling and jumping at him and the little boy hollered and put his hands over his face and just shook. And the daddy stopped for a moment and the boy threw his hands down and said, I'm not afraid of you. You're my daddy and you love me. And he jumped into the arms of his daddy. That is what God wants us to do. When fear seems to overwhelm us, God wants us to realize that I'm not supposed to have a fear. I'm not supposed to fear God. I'm not supposed to fear what He's told me to do. He's my daddy, and He loves me. I've got one more thing I want to share with you before we dismiss, and that is this. In order to overcome this spirit of fear, the last thing that you need to do, or maybe the first thing you need to do, is commit your life to Jesus Christ. Every one of us. So many people are so afraid of death that they do not truly live. Amen? I've got to tell you, I've had some times in my life that my life was done, and I am not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death. Oh, I'm not going to go out there and try to check out now. I'd like to stay out a few more years and torment some of y'all. But isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to say with absolute certainty, I am not afraid of death. I know where I'm going to be. It is wonderful. It is a blessing to know that God has His best for a believer on this earth. But it is even greater to know that if we pass away, that we graduate into the mighty and awesome and wonderful blessed presence of the Lord our God. There are so many who go through bondage in life because they are so afraid of death. And I'm going to tell you, there is a verse for you. Write this one down. There is a verse for you. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Listen. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared the same. In other words, if you're alive and you're flesh and blood, our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. Are you with me? that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. So what's he saying? Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty for our sin. He paid for my sin on that tree. And he destroyed death's power over me. That's why I don't fear death. And if he has destroyed death's power for you, you won't fear death. Receiving Jesus Christ releases us from the bondage of fear. It stands to reason that if our greatest fear of life is conquered, our lesser fears can be conquered as well. Amen? Satan wants to distract us with all of our fears. So you see, a Christian who knows the Word of God, a Christian who knows God's Word, if he or she knows God, the God of the Word and the Word of God, you see someone different than anybody else in the world. You see somebody different. They're not anxious to die and they don't want to die, but they're not afraid to die either. Because they know that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How do we know that? Is this God's Word or is it not? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that assurance in your heart today? The only way to have it is through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to invite Him into your life, to accept Him as your Savior and your Lord, and to ask Him to take your sin away and to take the fears of your life away. That's the only way it can happen. Have you done that? Have you said, "I do," to Jesus? I want to invite all of you, my Christian friends that are here that some of you have known for a long time, but I want to invite you, my Christian friends, to escape the spirit of fear. Amen? Maybe you've been living with a fear. And I want you to begin to believe in the God who loves you so much that His Son died on the cross that you should not have a spirit of fear. And I want to ask anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to give Jesus Christ first place in your life today. Ask Him to forgive your sin. And He will give you the hope of eternal life. He is only, I love the song, He is only a prayer away. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Would you pray this with me? If you've never invited Christ into your life and heart, all it takes is an honest prayer. It doesn't take coming down to the altar. It doesn't take you jumping up. You don't have to find a priest. You don't have to find a preacher. All you have to do is call out to God in faith. And you pray and ask Him to forgive your sin right now. You pray and ask Him to come into your heart and your life right now. You ask Him to overcome the spirit of fear in your life. And you give Him everything you are. And you follow Him. And then you start doing what we talked about. You start doing what we called you to do. And that's this. Are you with me? You dwell with God. You seek God. You pray to God. You follow God. And when you do that, I guarantee you, your life will change. Father, this we pray. For those of us who have known You for days or decades, God, would You remove the spirit of fear and we confess it as sin. God, would You remove the spirit of fear that drowns us so that we can't even grasp and breathe the air of freedom that You want us to have. We confess the spirit of fear that makes us disbelieve Your Word, that disregards Your promises, that discourages Your people. God, we ask for forgiveness. And we ask You, Lord, to give us the spirit of Your love, because Your Word says that love conquers fear. And God, when Satan wants to put fear in us, from the closet doors of life, let us remind Him who's got our back. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. What a blessing to belong to you, Lord.